Human Services Finance will come to order. We do not have a quorum present. We are going to have an informational hearing today on three bills. The first bill that we have is House File 3211. Representative Albright is here with House File 3211. Representative Albright, please introduce your bill and your testifiers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 3211, in my estimation, is probably one of the most relevant appropriations that we could make this session. If you will, for the sake of my conversation, just consider the number of families who are in crisis today. And think about the needs that they have, and think about the opportunities for them to solicit assistance from people who want nothing more than to help them up and out of their crisis and love on them and their kids and give them some fundamental tools that will dramatically change their lives forever. That being said, Perspectives is one of those entities that is, I think, one of the most effective ways of putting action in place for what I've just described. I have the president of the organization with me today, and I'm very happy to have her present Perspectives to you, Mr. Chair.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jeannie Staley Smith. I'm the CEO and president of Perspectives. And thank you, Representative Albright, for asking us and supporting this bill. The fastest growing population, I think you probably are aware of homelessness and women and children. And Perspectives has been working with that population probably longer than most of the agencies. Right after the McKinney Dental Bill was passed, we purchased our first two apartment buildings in St. Louis Park that housed, at that time, 22, and we have expanded now to a full campus of 52 women and over 100 children that we're housing and that stay with us for 2 years. We learned very quickly that it takes more than a house to really solve the issues of homelessness, because at the core of those issues are trauma and mental illness and addiction, and of course with the opiate crisis now even more so. So about 20 years ago, 22 years ago, we purchased about a mile down the road a family center, and we were able then to start to work not only with the moms but with the children. Perspective's mission is to break the cycle. And we were not going to be able to break the cycle when the children came like deer in headlights and so much trauma that we weren't able to even have them work in schools because they were being kicked out of the schools because of their behavior. So we developed a family center, and we did an extended day program that now it has a kids' cafe and academic programming 12 months out of the year. I'm going to just show you a real quick video. Carolyn, if you want to show that, it's just 60 seconds. It kind of gives you a little bit of our day at Perspectives.
Perspectives is one of the most unique, holistic programs in the nation. For over 40 years, we have developed and implemented services which provide opportunities, healing, dignity, and hope to thousands of mothers and children struggling with the trauma associated with homelessness, addiction, and mental illness. Our supportive housing, the largest in the Midwest, provides fully furnished apartments to our mothers and children. Our wraparound services include case management, employment counseling, mental health clinicians, after-school and summer enrichment programs, transportation, and a nutritional and culinary program called Kids Cafe.
I can't speak enough about how great this place is. I just wish that there was one in every single city so that more people could be helped in the way that we're being helped.
So we have a couple phases. In the bonding bill last year, Perspectives was able to get a $600,000 pre-design bill, which now has, when you look into your packets, you can see the architecture of the schematic of the new building that we are going to build. Totally a trauma-informed environment to work with families, which is the only best evidence of practice of working with families who have been in such long-term trauma, is to create environments that also don't re-traumatize it. So this bill that we are this year is a $4 million for construction to complete the second phase of building the actual building. And we are so excited to have as our honorary chair of this campaign, Everson and Tiffany Griffin. We have with us today Everson, and he will speak on behalf of Perspectives. If we felt that if we're going to just going to throw the ball to him right now and let him carry it.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Griffin. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Everson Griffin, I think one of the major goals here at Perspective is to, with the new building is resources for the kids. The bigger the building, the newer it is, you can have resources, to help the kids. There's moms out there, I came from a single parent home, but there's moms out there that's struggling but I think if we could touch the kids, because kids are our next generation, and with this building, you can give the kids more activities, add bigger kids cafe, more involvement that they can have with the community and touch the moms in a certain way that they need help with. And I think the goal is to just help them and the struggle they're in and just give them the resources, the outlets for the kids, to put a smile on their face. Because I walked in for Thanksgiving dinner, and I was there talking to the kid, and the only thing he was worried about is mama. Where's my mama? And I was like, that would be me. Where's my mom? And whatever we could do for the kids to help them, achieve their goals, because they're our future. I have three of them myself, and I do anything for them. And whatever we could do for the kids so they can achieve their goals. And this is what it's about. It's about the kids and helping the moms at the same time.
Thanks for your testimony, Mr. Griffin. Representative Albright.
Mr. Chair, members, this is, a reflection of what we are at our core best at doing and providing an opportunity for those in crisis to help themselves move on to a better place. We've heard in this committee and others over the last week or so about trauma-informed places, safe places. Representative Moran, I think, spoke very, very well to it last week. This is an extension of that. There are far too many families in crisis. This is an opportunity for us to make a difference in the lives of them and for the benefit of society, those children who want to make a difference. This gives them the tools to make that difference for themselves and for their families. Thank you for your consideration.
All right. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify on this bill? All right. Seeing none. Member discussion. Any questions or comments from the members? I just had Representative Considine.
Mr. Chair, just to clarify, this is not going through this committee. This is informational only, and this is then going to be going into the bonding committee?
That's correct, Representative Considine. We don't vote on individual bills affirmatively and pass them. We hear them, give them an opportunity for people to testify on individual bills, and then the bonding committee can pick up bills anywhere they like when they assemble the bill. But this gives the public an opportunity to weigh in.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious about the operational funding of the program. I know we're not here for that, but, I'm just wondering, what the funding streams are that are supporting the program.
Mr. Chair, Representative, our operating bill is 60% government right now. HUD is a big funder of our program. Also the state and Hennepin County is probably our largest funder. As far as our children's program, we took a real hit with United Way last year when they dropped reading by third grade. That was over $100,000. And then the state program did not refund 21st Century because our population is not middle school. We lost lots of points for that. So we are great fundraisers. Our community has supported us to the extent of doing a fundraiser every year with just 300 people. We net over $530,000. Foundations, Target is a big funder, $150,000. Cargill, $100,000. So we're out raising money. We have to raise every year over $1 million, just for operating. But we have been pretty successful. We've been in the community for over 25 years in the St. Louis Park, excellent reputation, stellar reputation, and a multidisciplinary staff that is known, you know, throughout our community.
So, Representative Liebling.
Thank you, and congratulations on that. That's, you know, it's great to know that the community is so concerned and willing to support the operation. And so you said 60% is government, so I assume that a lot of that is Medicaid or Minnesota Medical Assistance and some
Mr.
of it.
Chair, Representative, we are light on medical billing just because of our population. They don't always come with that in place. And medical billing, of course, is for mental health and CD, and that is what we're trying to expand. We just don't have the room to bring more people into our – we are in Rule 31. We have outpatient treatment, but we need more space for that. We need more space for medical treatment for the children who are coming, who are so traumatized. It takes 6 weeks, 3 months to get into programs for kids who are coming and are in crisis at that time. We don't have the resource, so we are trying to create those resources. We are really a one-stop shop for when a family comes, and the family stays for 2 years. So that is key to changing a family and putting someone, we always say, you can get them off the street, but you have to get them back on their feet. So that is our biggest work, is to make sure, and over 80% of our women and families return after 2 years to permanent housing because they're stabilized and we have worked with their mental illness and their chemical issues. So that's our model. And from what we have heard, it is a national model. We don't know of other supportive housing programs that have that wraparound service and a family center connected to it like we have.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and we do now have a quorum, so we'll officially call the meeting to order, and Representative Zerwas moves approval of the minutes from March 20th, 2018. Do we have any additions, corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption of the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The minutes are adopted. And Ms. Smith, I wanted, when you talk about trauma-informed environments for kids and their families. One of the things that you look at in child care, is this a licensed child care that you have within the facility, and are the parents present during the day, or how does that work?
The new expansion of our building will have 4,000 square feet designated for early childhood development, which will be a trauma-informed program. Right now, we are taking care of children when the mom is on site for treatment. So we don't need that license because the mom is there. But we will become, in the new building, a children's early childhood development license program.
Now, I do understand there's different needs for kids who are coming from situations of trauma, and I designed several daycare centers, and the first one that I did for kids at risk, the different needs around that and the connection with parents, particularly the mom during the day. Moms in the suburban centers that I had worked with, drop them off at the curb and high five and on your way, but not so from kids with a little bit of a higher need background or kids with trauma. The moms did not want to just hand them off. They needed to stick around and feel comfortable and have connection during the day. So when you say trauma-informed on that, I understand that that has a big difference in terms of how you design it, how you operate it. And so appreciate that. Appreciate the good work.
You're exactly right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Further discussion. Final word, Representative Albright.
Compelling testimony for a very compelling cause, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
All right. Representative Miller. Representative Miller has House File 3388. Representative Miller, welcome to the committee. On understand you got some testifiers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do, and I will be brief because I think my testifiers can tell the story better than I can.
I'm sure they could.
I do want to thank you for the time that you're giving us here. Thank you very much for that vote of confidence. And the only thing that I will say is this committee and this legislature has been very supportive of the safe harbor work that's being done in the state. As many of you know, and this is what I often tell people, I say the bad news is that Minnesota has a real problem with sex trafficking, particularly when it comes to youth. Now, the good news is that Minnesota has taken the lead in the nation on addressing this problem. So the reason why we're here today is folks, we're doing a good job in Minnesota. When we do a good job in Minnesota, that means that we take trafficked children off the streets, away from the pimps, and into a safe place. Those safe places are running out of space for that safe place, and so we are looking for financing to be able to address these needs from three outstanding organizations who address this on a daily basis. They're on the front lines with this, and with that, I'm going to hand over the testimony to each of these three organizations. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Miller, and thank you to the testifiers for coming to the committee today. Please come forward and introduce yourself and where you're from and proceed in whatever order you would like.
Thank you so much, Chair Dean and members of the committee. My name is Beth Holger Ambrose. I work for an organization called The Link, which some of you might be familiar with. We were founded by two former Minnesota Vikings players, Jim Marshall and Oscar Reed. We're a youth-led organization that provides juvenile justice alternative programs, housing and programming for youth experiencing homelessness, and shelter, housing, and services for youth who have experienced sex trafficking in coordination with our state safe harbor law. We truly appreciate and thank all of you so much for your support of the safe harbor law and the funding that went into effect. I see many, many faces here. Representative Halverson, Pinto, Fisher, obviously Chair Dean, thank you so much for your support. Representative Miller, Rosen, and Franson, we really appreciate all of the support that you've given us throughout the years and this year on this bill. The reason that we're here today is, although it's been amazing and wonderful that the legislature has dedicated funding for the training and ongoing supportive services for Safe Harbor, the one thing that we do not have yet is an allocation from government to help with the capital, which means that even though we're to provide shelter and housing as providers, it's very difficult to raise 100% of the funding needed for emergency shelter or housing for trafficked youth privately. Many of the private foundations, and they definitely are supporting us, don't get me wrong, but they want you to raise 80% of the funding first, and they oftentimes do not want to fund the entire building. So what we're hoping to do today is to be able to really gain your support on providing capital funding or a portion of the capital funding needed for ourselves at The Link, as well as our partners, our very close partners, Lifehouse in Duluth and Heartland Girls Ranch in Benson. The three of us all provide critically needed shelter for sex and housing for sex trafficked youth. So far, what we've been able to do, thankfully, is work with our partners in our local communities to find temporary places to provide shelter for sex trafficked youth through leases or rental agreements or things like that. The Link is getting a lot of pressure, our rental agreement is coming to an end here pretty soon, and so we're continuing to try to fundraise. The Link, like I said, we have worked really hard to fundraise, and we do have some support from the Carlson Family Foundation, as well as corporations such as Slumberland, individual donors. And the also very exciting thing that has happened with The Link is that we have the support from, if we are able to purchase our building that we're currently in, for providing sex trafficked shelter for youth, the Mall of America has donated in kind their construction team to build on an additional 10 units of housing. So not only would this investment be able to help us sustain the 6 emergency shelter beds for 12 to 17 year olds and the 5 units of housing for 16 to 24 year olds, all who have been sex trafficked within our state, it would also help us to increase and essentially nearly double the beds that we have there right now through the in kind partnership and donation of the Mall of America. The other thing I'd like to do is just give you kind of an example of why this is so critically needed. I just want to give you a couple of stories of the youth who have been helped by our passageway shelter. One of them is a white young boy, 16 years old, from one of the southwest suburbs. He was recruited online, as many unfortunately young people are, was recruited online by a trafficker and a pimp from a different state, and was groomed and basically recruited into sex trafficking that way. What happened in that particular situation, thankfully, was that one of the family or one of the friends of the family contacted us at the link and said, we're worried about this young person. We think he's being sex trafficked. It turned out he was. He came into our emergency shelter program, was able to participate in therapy and in family reunification, and also we were able to get information from him about his trafficker, who then we were able to work with law enforcement on. So not only were we able to help provide healing for that victim and family reunification, he was reunified with his father, but we also were able to help law enforcement get that trafficker convicted of trafficking of a minor across state lines. Another example is a young person who basically was born into a situation where both of her parents were addicted to different types of drugs. The mother was already involved in the life or in sex trafficking, and her father was trying to do the best he could to provide support for her, but was struggling with a lot of addiction issues. So one day, you know, she was only in fifth grade, 11 years old. She became friends with another girl at her school. The girl at her school said, hey, you should come over to my house today after school. She did that, and then unfortunately, her friend was being trafficked by family members, and those family members, same family members, then recruited her into sex trafficking at age 11. And so that was her life story. Between age 11 and 19, she was sex trafficked first through her family friends and then through other trafficking or other traffickers. And she went through our housing program and is today out of the life. She's not addicted to drugs anymore. She's going to therapy. She's going to school and finishing up. She's working on a post-secondary degree and is also employed by the Link as one of our youth advisory members. So at any rate, This providing funding into shelters such as the Link's Passageways Program or Lifehouse in Duluth or Heartland Girls Ranch, it is changing lives. It's providing support and healing for youth that for no fault of their own have been sex trafficked and deserve our support. And so we just really urge you to help us to be able to do this, to sustain what we currently are doing as well as expanding to what we can do more. So we just ask for your consideration of support of House File 3388. And again, just thank you so much for your support and the time to testify today. With that, I'll turn it over to my colleague.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Hello, my name is Keisha Stewart, and I am the Safe Harbor Division Director. Thank you to Mr. Chair and everyone, all the representatives here. I would just like to add the fact that having worked with this population of youth for the last 3.5 years, one of the greatest assets of our program is that we are able to provide services in one building on site. And this population of youth is highly mobile. When their trauma responses come to the surface, they leave. And so for us, it's been great to have mental health services on site, education on site, licensed alcohol and chemical dependency counselors on site, as well as survivor mentors. And so for us, staying in the building, we operate two different programs. Many of our youth start off in the shelter. When they do a good job there, some of them run and come back. There are a variety of scenarios that can come from that. But one of the greatest assets of the building that we're in now is that oftentimes the youth that are in the shelter look up to the youth that are on the housing side. They look forward to that level of stability. They look forward to the independent living skills that they have the ability to gain while they're in our programs. And they often share with us that if I didn't have this level of support around me, I may be back on the streets. And so for us, that's one of the greatest reasons why we're here and we advocate so highly and diligently for this type of support, because we know that these kids can be gone in the wind. And the more eyes we have in their situations, the more people that they can build trusting and lasting relationships with, the greater the chances of them not going back into the life. So we would appreciate your support on this Bill 3388. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, could I just say one more thing? I'm sorry. I wanted to say that unfortunately, Maude Dornfield called me this morning from Lifehouse. She was on her way down but had a family emergency, so I had to turn around and go back to Duluth. But on behalf of our partners, Lifehouse and Duluth, they're asking for funding to help with a portion of their funding to basically rehab an emergency shelter with 10 beds. So just to say sorry they couldn't be here. Thank you so much.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Hello, my name is Jeannie Thompson. I am the CEO of the Heartland Girls Ranch. I want to thank you all very kindly for allowing us to be here today to talk about the very important work that we do at the Heartland Girls Ranch. We are located just on the outside city limits of Benson, Minnesota. So we are in a rural setting. We are located on 160 acres of land. And I'm very proud to say that we just celebrated our 25th anniversary of being in business. With our organization, we have been incredibly fortunate to be a part of the Safe Harbor funding, which has allowed us to open our Hearts for Freedom program with the Heartland Girls Ranch, which does serve the needs of girls that have been trafficked or sexually exploited. Our organization and our Hearts for Freedom program is it's a long-term group home setting. And so girls are with us anywhere from nine months to a year. And we have girls that, specifically, we have girls in our program anywhere from ages 12 to 21. What does set us aside from other organizations is we have horses. So we are a ranch, and we have 40 horses in our herd. Our horses are very instrumental in the work that we do with the girls that we serve. Our girls that that come into our program, and we have girls from all over the state of Minnesota, anywhere from the Duluth area, from Moorhead, Mankato, Twin Cities, all over the state of Minnesota. Many of us have girls that come to our program that have never been to a ranch before or even have worked with horses before. Horses are absolutely a key part of the programming that we do. As the girls work with their horses, they have chores, they feed, they groom the horses, and develop these relationships. And it is a way for girls to establish trust again where trust has been broken elsewhere. Along with our programming, we have a partnership with the Benson High School. Girls do attend school. Some attend mainstream classes, and we have our own dedicated teachers and our own dedicated classrooms to help our girls with credit recovery. We have had girls in our program that have been trafficked by pimps that have been mentioned before, but we've also had girls in our program that have been trafficked by their very own family members. And we have had girls just as young as 12 years old, which is very hard to believe that somebody that young could go through such such trauma, but we do. Girls that have a hard time even going to sleep at night, having those relationships, they're scared. The trauma is just, it's severe what they have gone through. I would like to also just echo some of the words that Beth mentioned earlier, that the help that can be provided to our organization would be absolutely significant. We do have a new Hearts for Freedom house construction that this would assist us with. Just to tell you a story about one of our former residents, who actually, she was with us 3 years ago, and very recently she sent us an email, and what she states is, she says, thank you guys for taking me in after I was sex trafficked. If it wasn't for your Hearts for Freedom program and horses, I would have probably been back to the lifestyle, or worse, dead. It has been 3 years now, and I have settled down and have a one-year-old daughter. You guys gave me the inspiration to push for another day to live and made me believe in myself. I owe you my life to you guys and wish you had more room to house more girls who have been sex trafficked. I've kept in contact with three of our other former residents who are now sisters to me due to your program bringing us together to learn to trust again. And that's absolutely huge. The whole purpose of our program is really to change the lives of these girls, to let them know that they have choices in this world and that they do not have to settle on the hand that has been dealt them, where we're dealing with very young children that in no way had any control over the circumstances that they were put in. With me this morning, I have Bree Sweeney. She is our community outreach and youth advocate, and she would also like to share some information with you.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Hi, Bree Sweeney from Heartland Girls Ranch. I just wanted to touch on a few of the key things that Heartland does. We very much really pride ourselves in having holistic care for the girls that we serve, making sure that we're meeting their tangible needs, such as a safe place to sleep, medical and dental, mental health, all of that stuff that they wouldn't have access to otherwise without being at our housing, but also the intangible needs that all traffic victims may share, that we provide for victims and survivors, such as the feeling of safety and security, having good adult healthy boundaries and relationships, seeing those interactions, as well as making sure that we're providing that education piece on what trafficking is and what grooming is and how easy it can be to get caught up in it, but also those protective factors and making sure that we focus on strength and resilience. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for your testimony today. Do you have any other testifiers, representative?
I do not. I just have one small final
comment. Does anyone else from the audience want to testify in this bill? I see none. Member comments. Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I think members are aware, I spent a couple years as the statewide director of training and protocol development of the Safe Harbor system, so training thousands of police officers and others. So I've actually done a lot of presentation trainings. I'm seeing Ms. Hogarbo smile with both of her and Ms. Stewart. We've been in front of a lot of audiences together all around the state. And so I've been really happy to partner with Representative Miller on a bunch of bills relating to trafficking exploitation. And I know that these three organizations are doing really terrific work, and it really is important. I don't know that the problem in our state when it comes to exploitation trafficking is actually any worse than other states. I think sometimes we sort of hear a number saying we're sort of one of the top in the country. But it definitely is not any better. And it is absolutely a problem that touches every corner of our state and every community. This is absolutely happening all over. And so these organizations are on the front lines doing really terrific work. And so I'm proud to support this and, again, to partner with Representative Miller in this area. So thank you.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just briefly, no questions, but a comment. Certainly wanted to share my gratitude with you and with the link and all you folks who are doing this important work. And thank you not only for the work you're doing today, but thank you for bringing us here as a state. The language we use around youth who have been trafficked, the way that we treat youth who have been trafficked have changed dramatically in the last 10 years. And it's because of leadership from folks like you who are on the front lines, who recognize the trauma that these children have been through. And you've helped really change the way we make public policy around this issue. And I'm really grateful, and I'm grateful to have been able to work with you all and see it up close, but I don't think that we can take it for granted how far we've come in a short period of time, making sure that we're providing the care that these folks need, and the care is unique, and we want to be sure we continue to grow the capacity to make sure that we're taking care of all and protecting all of the girls that we can. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Halverson. Other questions? Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just want to speak on behalf of Lifehouse. It's unfortunate that Maude Dornfeld's not here, but I've toured Lifehouse, and they provide vital services for our community. And I want to thank Representative Miller for bringing this bill forward and supporting it, and including the Duluth community.
All right. Representative Miller, I know there's a fiscal note. There's $70,000 per year. That's for, is that, I believe, to administer all three, or is
Mr. Chair, if I could deal with a little bit of business, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
I have the fiscal note in front of me, and I know that it's common practice that we presume MMB's fiscal notes. That's how we work, and that's how we should work around here, but I would like to find a way that perhaps we can discuss this in the appropriate form in the future, because I'm just going to read their assumptions. And it says the Department of Human Services has limited capacity to manage projects of a capital nature that involve designing construction, furniture, and equipment facilities. The 2017 bonding bill tasked the department with overseeing six new capital investment projects without providing any additional resources to manage that work. And Mr. Chair, I personally would beg to differ with how much work this is actually going to take, but even if we come to agreement that there is work that needs to be done in this area to place all six projects on the backs of this of these three projects just seems a little bit inappropriate, and I fear that something like a $70,000 fiscal note can get in between us and doing good work. So I don't know where the forum is for doing that, but I'd like to address that somewhere in the future as to where those costs really are.
All right, thank you, Representative Miller, and I know the department's here, and we're probably, we can discuss that with them probably in between now and Representative Erdahl's committee, just so that you have that information as he puts the bill together. That will be important also for ongoing and operating. I just had one question about the Heartland Girls Ranch. Just how far along is the, it's just under $1 million. How far along in the process are you with cost estimates and design development on that project?
With the project itself, the house itself has been completed, and so the girls have moved into the house as of January. And we're about 90 to 95% complete with the new indoor horse arena. So that's pretty close to being complete.
And that the construction costs would be involved with completing those projects? Is that what that is?
That would actually cover, we actually have a bank loan for those projects, so this would help cover that. And then that would free up additional funds for other opportunities.
Understand. Thank you. All right. Final word, Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. I will tell you that Benson is in my district, and you, Mr. Chair, brought this to my attention a couple of years ago, and you were actually out when we visited. You were kind enough to come out and tour Heartland. Heartland is very close to my heart because they're close to me, and I can let you know that it's important enough that my wife volunteers in that education program that we're talking about, and I've helped where I could out there as well. So I really encourage the committee members here. I know this is moving on to bonding and that's for a different time, different discussion, but please talk to the members that you know involved with that and certainly to the chair for this important endeavor. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Representative. All right. Next up, we have House File 2966. And Representative Halverson will be here to present House File 2966. Representative Halverson, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I am here on behalf of Representative Thiessen, who could not be here, to introduce an excellent bill with regard to appropriating funds for a grant for the Family Tree Clinic. It's a local clinic that serves unique populations. It's located in St. Paul, and they have been such a draw for the people that they serve that they are outgrowing their space, and we want to be sure that they can continue to provide the care that people are seeking in the St. Paul community and surrounding communities. So with that, I would love to turn it over and let you hear from the Family Tree Clinic.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair and representatives. My name is Alyssa Light, and the Executive Director of Family Tree Clinic. And thank you, Representative Congress. Just a little bit of background. Family Tree is a community clinic, and we were founded in 1971. We're dedicated to providing excellent health care and support services to people who face barriers and experience severe health disparities. We serve 22,000 people a year through our programs, and they include medical and educational programs that really address the whole social determinants of health impacting health disparities. We have a unique set of services that include the state's only deaf, deafblind, and hard of hearing health education program, educational services in juvenile detention centers and women's prisons, and then medical services that focus on family planning and basic primary care. 70% of our patients are low-income women, and the majority have a history of homelessness, sexual assault, sex trafficking, and or intimate partner violence. Over the past several years, as Representative Halverson indicated, the demand for our services and programs have far outpaced our capacity, primarily because of physical constraints in our facility. Thus, we're expanding and building a new facility in order to meet the demand and expand programming. And so in front of you today is our one-time capital cash request for $900,000. We've secured a match through the sale of our existing building, where we will net $2.5 million from the proceeds of that sale. And we're also running a traditional capital campaign in which we intend to raise about $1.6 million. Our total project goal is $5 million, and in addition to the funds that we need to raise, we've secured pro bono pre-design support that's already happened through Perkins & Will Architecture Firm, as well as partial pro bono architecture design, and then pro bono legal support through Fagery Baker Daniel Law Firm. Our timeline is to renovate our new facility through 2019 and then move in the spring of 2020. We estimate we'll be able to serve an additional 5,000 people a year in our new facility and expand provider and health professional workforce training and also expand our education programs, which are all at capacity. And just to highlight a bit about the people we serve, which really overlap tremendously with the other organizations you've heard from, just last week a single mom and her two children came into our clinic for an appointment for the mom. She learned about Family Tree through the medical services that we provide at a women's shelter in St. Paul twice a month. She had not had cervical cancer screening in over two decades and was having severe pelvic pain. She's currently living in the shelter with her two daughters, and when she arrived at the clinic, she needed to have her teenage daughter watch her toddler while she was getting the medical services. She needed several urgent medical services at that time and could not use her health insurance because the policyholder is her abusive partner. We were not only able to help her address her urgent medical needs that day, but we enrolled her in a program through the Minnesota Department of Health that provides cervical and breast cancer screening for women over 40 so that she did not have to pay for those services. And while her teenage daughter was in the waiting room with our excellent clinic assistant staff, she was able to learn about a peer youth development summer program that we provide. She filled out the application while she was in the waiting room, and she'll be starting that summer program in June. And it's a small paid program that provides leadership skills for at-risk teens. The toddler was able to leave with 15 coloring books that kids love while they're hanging out in our waiting room, as well as a kids book that talks about what family means that we're able to provide for free from a small private foundation grant. And on the way out the door, this mother gave our provider a big hug and told her that she'd never been to a clinic where she was treated like family, but that's what it felt like at Family Tree. So these are the people that make up the community seeking services at Family Tree Clinic, and these are the types of people that we'll be able to better reach and serve more of through our expanded facility. Thank you so much for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions that the committee may have.
Thank you. Are there questions? Representative Considine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At the beginning, you said you work with the women's prison in Shakopee.
We do, yes. We provide parent education programming to the women in the Shakopee Women's Prison.
Oh, I thought you meant you did the medical stuff for them. You were provide some programming opportunities. Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for your testimony, Ms. Light, right?
Yes. Yeah.
See, I visited your website, and the question I would have is under education, I mean, you promote plenty of so-called safe sex techniques, but and then take a pill or reduce your percentage, your chance of getting HIV. However, if you miss a day, there's no guarantee, and of course, everybody's body type is different. Do you provide any type of educational services that tell people who are practicing promiscuity to abstain from sexual activity until marriage and to be faithful within marriage and the advantages of that?
Thank you for your question, Representative Grunhagen. All of our health education programming use science and evidence-based information that's tested through rigorous, usually federally funded research studies, and includes messages around abstinence. All of our programming does. And in addition to the programming that focuses on safer practices, abstinence, and access to preventive health services, we also teach programming that talks about healthy relationships, that talks about decision-making, and we use a key concept methodology, which is really about supporting people to make healthy decisions for the long term of their life. And I think that what you indicate would be aligned with what we're teaching in terms of long-term decision-making.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Bruenhagen.
So the question is, do you promote educational materials, because I don't see any on your website, that specifically promote abstinence until marriage and faithfulness in marriage and the public health benefits of that type of behavior? Yes or no?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Bruenhagen. Yes, all of our education programming includes messages about abstinence.
Until marriage?
We prefer not to say abstinence until marriage because we believe that abstinence is something that people need to understand the key concept around. And we're often talking to at-risk teens where discussing marriage may not be the most effective way to get the key concept across.
Representative Gruenhagen.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Chair. I think that's a fatal flaw in your educational program, personally. And I'd just like to share some statistics with you. And maybe, you know, you referenced the CDC, Center for Disease Control, on your website. Well, it's interesting. In October 6, 2014, they put out the statistics on a hidden STD epidemic, okay? And their estimate is that in the United States, we have 110 million infections of STD in the U.S. 110 million. We got 330 million citizens. That means one out of three people are walking around with an STD, according to the CDC. Now, here's the interesting thing. They go on to say on this study that new infections each year, according to the CDC, is 20 million. New infections every year. The total, I covered that. The total STDs among men and women, 110 million. The direct medical cost for these STDs to the healthcare system is $16 billion a year. Okay? And finally, and this is probably the most disturbing and why I asked the question about abstinence until marriage, the proportion of new infections that are in people ages 15 to 24, out of that 20 million, 50% are in the 15 to 24 age group. Mm-hmm. So I think they should learn about marriage, the benefits of marriage. What I use for safe sex is a wedding ring. It says, till death do us part, and then the date of my death if I'm ever unfaithful. No, I'm just kidding. The point is, this safe sex marriage to our young people is destroying them, because many of these STDs are incurable, they create sterility, some death, and they can ruin people's life going forward. The last thing I'd say, we have a mental illness crisis among our young people in this country. I believe there's a direct connection to the amount of STD infections among young people and the type of mental illness crisis that we're seeing in them, because you can't put a condom on your heart or your emotions. So please change your message to abstinence until marriage and the benefits of being faithful within marriage. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Bruenhagen. And I'll just say one final thing, which is that we pride ourselves on, as medical providers and certified health educators, using a combination of teaching tools that are tested through rigorous studies that really do reduce rates of sexually transmitted infection and reduce rates of engaging in what you would describe as premarital sex. So the combination of education tools are a part of the solution that you are identifying as a significant problem.
I don't think you listened to a word I said, but thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Light. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank Representative Halverson for bringing this piece of legislation forward for us to consider. Family Tree is in the district that I represent right now, and I know that there's a consideration about whether the next location will be in the district I represent or potentially in Minneapolis. But in either case, I am grateful for the science-based approach that you're taking in terms of the treatment of people and in terms of education. And I understand that we're talking about sexually transmitted diseases, and you probably don't have at your fingertips, nor do I, the distribution of age of people who experience sexually transmitted diseases, but it's certainly not the purview of young people and people who are not married. And we know, of course, people in the highest offices in the nation who engage in promiscuous behavior and probably transmit diseases themselves. I don't know that we need to break that down in this committee, but I wanted to make sure that you knew from me as a state representative as a registered nurse that your adherence to science-based education and what you are conveying to the people in your care is really critically important.
Thank you, Representative Murphy. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion? All right. Does anyone in the audience want to testify on this? Seeing none, final word, Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to Ms. Light for her great testimony. It's very clear that there are many ways that we need to approach issues that are facing Minnesotans with regard to their complete health, including their sexual health. And I, for one, am grateful that we have a variety of organizations that are focused on ensuring that Minnesotans have the best care possible, that they have science-based care, and that we have organizations like Family Tree Clinic that are not only doing outreach within their own four walls, but are going out into the community and making sure that women in Shakopee have access to the best possible care and education that they can ask for. Because when you look at data, and we've heard from the Department of Health just recently with regard to disease outbreaks that we've seen in Minnesota, that education and appropriate care in the appropriate setting are the best ways for us to deal with these illnesses and to prevent illness in the future. So thanks to the Family Tree Clinic and thanks to the committee for their attention.
Thank you, Representative Halverson. Ms. Light, appreciate your testimony. And members, tomorrow we will have several additional capital investment requests, and this meeting